disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, you know, I could be wrong, but something tells me that this is going to be one of those shows that you don't want to miss. I just got that feeling here this morning. I've gathered here today. I'm not going to tell you where you are in case those drones are flying around us. I'm down there with old buddy Rich and Robert, and we're down there doing a little bit of a strategy session and get together and had an opportunity to get away. And man, oh man, oh man. Listen, guys, we got to come up with a plan. That's one of the things that we've been talking about. But the craziness going on around us. I was just having a talk with Tyrell here before we went on the air. For those of you who don't know, when you get in the queue here, you have the ability to. We get in here together and we talk for 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes sometimes. We get in here early and we just have a go-round here where we discuss it with each other. You can tell I'm not in my studio. It's a little bit darker here today. And I was talking about the interpretations of the Bible. And far be it from me to try to ever let anybody... Listen, I've told you a number of times, I am not a theologian. I'm not. Hermeneutics and... I don't even know what that stuff means. But I do know this. I can read. And I can think, and the same Holy Spirit that inspired those who came before us is still alive and well and in operation today. And you think about many of the things that we believe in the church and many of the doctrines. And I'm not a doctrinal guy. That's not even my point. You have to understand that you write history from your perspective of it. If I were to write a history of what's going on in America right now, and they were to read it 100 years from now, they would read the history, but they wouldn't understand the circumstances in which we were in. They wouldn't understand the explosion of knowledge and to have a group of people who 20 years ago, there really wasn't even anything such as the internet. And in a matter of 20 years, just as we sit here, all of a sudden all these doors and all these windows open and we can come on here and I can speak to somebody in Peru and it's live, and I can sit where I am today and I can speak to somebody in Maine where they've got a foot of snow and it's live, and the ability to communicate. If Jesus has had this mass communication, can you imagine what the world would have been like? Well, we have this mass communication now. So if somebody were to come and study it 200 years from now, study this time in which we were in, they couldn't do it. Because I would say, listen, you just don't understand. You had to be there to experience. Does that make sense, Robert? You had to be there. And so we're here right now, and knowledge is increasing, and everything's exploding, and it's all instantaneous, and something happens on the West Coast, and we hear about it immediately, and it's on the Drudge Report, and it's on Facebook, and man, knowledge is everywhere. And so you think back to, some of the great theologians and the Matthew Henrys of the world, the guys who've written Bible commentaries. That stuff's all good, and it's all, I don't have a problem with all that, but the world has so changed. It's so changed from the perspective from which they were writing. The Word of God has not changed, but the application of the Word of God has changed because it's not the same environment. Are you with me? You understand what I'm saying? And we get up in the morning. One of the problems, it's not even a problem that I have when I get up in the morning, is trying to figure out not what to talk about, but what not to talk about. How to try to present a get-together that we have here that's going to be cogent, it's going to make sense, and it's going to connect dots for people in a way that they never, ever had connected the dots. That's what I want to be able to do. And I think it was yesterday or two days ago, when I said, listen, just open up the newspaper and just start preaching out of the newspaper, because the world is being unveiled right before our very eyes like no time in history. And so things that might have been true in 1957 or appeared to have been true in 1957. Real truth never changes, okay? But perspective changes. The way that you view that truth, when you get what we call a rhema word, when you get a revelation of a new thing that you'd never had before, you can't let go of that thing. And it changes your whole perspective. For instance, I'm going to throw this out here, and I'm not even going to talk about it. But I'm just going to throw this out there. This one thing, I'm going to give you two things that'll change the way that you think. If you just study it out. Number one, I'm going to tell you this. The church is not the bride of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Just Google it. Just Google it. And you've been taught over and over and over and over and over and over that the church is a bride of Christ without spot or wrinkle, yada, 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 yada. We've all been taught that. Now, that sounds good, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And the second thing is you can read throughout the Bible. I give you 20 things, but you can read throughout the whole Bible, and you're not going to find Jesus, or you're not going to find John the Baptist, or you're not going to find the disciples going around trying to get people saved. You won't find that anywhere. You'll see them going around. In fact, the first sermon preached by both John the Baptist, the cousin of Jesus, the forerunner, and Jesus, that's Matthew 3 and Matthew 4, their first sermons were the same. And what was it? Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So perspective number two, what's the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? Is that heaven? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God is within you. What's the kingdom of God? So if we just study out those two perspectives, which have been hidden truths really for us, not hidden, we have been mistaught. Nobody did it on purpose, I don't think. The theology that I have, somebody taught it to me. And luckily, when I really got filled with the Holy Spirit and I really got under some persecution and they really pressed me down and some of that old oil ran out of me that wasn't any good, some of that old stuff, and I got filled with new wine, all of a sudden I could see things that I'd never, ever seen before. I'm not trying to sound holier than thou. I'm just trying to tell you that the truth is so much greater than we understand it to be. And I'm really one of those weird guys, because I'm going to really make you mad. I don't care about Israel. I don't care about Israel. And I run into all kinds of guys that their whole Bible study and everything they talk about is focused on Israel. I don't care about Israel. Now, is what's going on in Israel, does it matter? Yeah, I think it probably matters. But what if, go with me, go back with me 80 years ago when there wasn't even an Israel. Well, what does the Bible mean then, huh? Is Israel the apple of God's eye when there isn't even an Israel? So the God, see the Lord, Jared, Ezekiel 36. Oh, I got so much I want to get into today. I got so much. So listen, don't ever. How do I say this? I get nervous when people say, well, yeah, well, Rush Limbaugh said, and yeah, well, Sean Hannity said, and yeah, Michael Savage said, because frankly, I don't care what they say. And I don't want you to ever be saying, well, Coach Dave said. Listen, I don't want you to be saying what Coach Dave said. Just what's the truth? What's the truth? Right? And so I don't want to be able to ever be sitting here saying, listen, you got to follow what I say and what I believe. I got the whole thing together because I don't have it all together. You with me? Okay. I'm going to show you something. First of all, I've said it before, God is not an American. Okay? He's not American. And he's not a Republican. Neither one of those two things. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's over the whole world. Maybe even over more than just planet Earth. We can't even conceive of what might be out there. We don't even know. But we know that he sits high and he looks low and he knows what's going on and he's in control of everything, but he doesn't control everything. He's not a micromanager. So when you read the headlines, but don't get stuck on them, because God's working in a multifaceted way. So I asked Jared just this morning, Robert piqued my interest and Tyrell piqued my interest. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. 6. Oh, man, I got so much. Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there. Hey, guys, it's happening right around us. And when you say why it's happening, I don't know, but it's happening. I don't really know what it is, but you hear me? It's happening right now around us. It's happening. And if we would quit concentrating, if we would stop if we'd stop taking the head fake, and we would just keep our eyes focused on the truth and what's really going on, we're gonna figure this thing out. We don't have to figure it out. Ezekiel, let me open up my Bible here, because I want to see exactly where it was. Ezekiel 36, and I want to start in verse 16. A lot of doom and gloomers out there. I can be one of them. A lot of doom and gloomers. All the world's coming apart. It's coming to an end here. Well, boy, this is it. We ain't going to make a lot of that. Oh, you see what's going over in Israel. Oh, and I'm not making fun of any of that stuff. But a lot of that is, what do they call that? Self-fulfilling prophecy? Huh? You think something's one thing. It's like I used to tell you guys, I'd watch football film, and after the game was over, I'd watch the film sitting high and looking low. I'd look at the film, and I'd be so ticked off. I said, oh, man, I wish I knew they were doing that. I didn't know they were doing that. And I was calling my plays, and I was operating on a set of beliefs that was a sound set of beliefs, but it didn't apply to what they were doing. And so I would look at the film afterwards and say, ah, why didn't somebody tell me? I just switched plans. Make sense? And we're all sitting around saying this whole thing's over. Well, what if it ain't? See, that's how I am. I'm preparing like it's over, and I'm working like it ain't. Can't you do those two things simultaneously? Come on, can't you do that? Can't you prepare for the future and fight like hell now? That's the point that I'm trying to make. It's in the Lord's hands what's going to happen and when he's coming back and when the sky gets split and whether you get raptured or whether you don't get raptured. Quit worrying about all that stuff. You got no control over it. When he pushes the eject button, good Lord help us. Ezekiel 16, because this is going to make, 36, I'm sorry, because this is going to make some people nervous. Verse 16, you ready? Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, by the way, if the word of the Lord can come to Ezekiel saying, it can come to you saying, because God is no respecter of persons. Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it. Hey, guys, please do this. Anytime you hear Israel, just put America, okay? Not because I think America's replaced Israel, but it's just gonna make this make a little bit more sense, okay? Son of man, when America dwelt in their own land, they defiled by their own way and by their own doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. God's looking at America, say, oh, my goodness. Wherefore, I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land and for the idols wherewith they had polluted it. We deserve judgment. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed throughout the countries. And according to their way and their doings, I judged them. And when they entered into the heathen, wherever they went, they profaned my holy name. He's talking about his people. They profaned my name, and they said unto them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone out of his land. I want to focus on something here. Now, beginning right now in verse 22, I want you to follow with me how many times he says, for my name's sake. Now, hear me. It ain't about you. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the God, says the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you among the heathen and gather you out of all the countries, and I'll bring you into your own land, and then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all of your filthiness and from all of your idols. Will I also give you an anew of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That happened to me. I got a fresh heart. Amen. And I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all the uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and it will increase, and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach for the famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your own iniquities and your own abominations. Not for your sake do I this, says the Lord. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus say the Lord of God, in that day that I shall have you cleansed from all the iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell. Shall be built, land shall be tilled, desolate and by that this land was desolate, is become like a garden of Eden, and the waste and a desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. And then the heathen that are left around about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places, and I plant that which is desolate, and I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, and I will for this be inquired of all the house of Israel to do this for them, and I will increase them with men like a flock. As for the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am God. Now listen to me. It ain't about you, baby. It ain't about you. And whatever the Lord is getting ready to do in this world, and whatever the Lord is getting ready to do in America, it ain't about you. It's about Him. You understand that? You better understand that. It ain't about you, and it ain't about the church, and it ain't about His bride, and it ain't about the rapture, and it ain't about any of this stuff. It's about His name's sake. He's doing it for His name, because His name has been profaned through all the world because of His children. And He, understand this, that the Lord puts His word above His name. Because if His word is no good, His name is no good. And His word is what spoke everything into being. And so God is telling us that His credibility is on the line, and He is not going to sit casually by and allow His name to be besmirched. You can live however the hell you want to live, and you can preach whatever you want to preach, but I'm going to tell you this, when the truth comes, He will defend His name. Man, that came from way down inside me. You understand what I'm telling you? We get caught up in all these frivolities and all these things that are going on. We become powerless. Why become powerless? We become powerless because we're fearful. We don't understand what's going on. Fine focused. We're looking at one little thing. We're missing the whole big thing that's going on in the cosmos. And understand that it is God's name, His name, that has been profaned. And I'm going to promise you this. He's going to make it right. He is going to make His name right before He comes back, because He's going to make His name right so everybody can see it. There will be no doubt that He's the King of Kings. Let me stop right there. Anybody want to jump in and smack me or say anything? Because I wanted to go into Ezekiel 36, 37. I want to start talking to those dry bones. Can these dry bones live? Huh? Can America live again? Say, well, no, Coach, America can't live again, because I'm looking at what's going on in Israel. Well, God bless you. God bless you. You keep looking at what's going on in Israel. And he's asking that question, can these bones live? Huh? Can these dry bones, can they begin to get flesh back on them? Can there be a revival? Could there be a revival in America? Could there be a revival in America? Well, no, we can't, Coach, because look what's going on over there in Israel. North, the bear's coming down from the north, and they're all getting all around there. Lord, no, Lord. Gee, money, criminy. Is that you trying to get in here, Larry? Michael, somebody's trying to get in.
Yeah, Coach, I just wanted to reinforce what you said just a minute ago. The name that's going to prevail, the name that's going to cause all the hate, the name that's going to win is not the label. Like you said, it is not the label. J-E-S-U-S is just four letters, one of them repeated twice.
Mm.
It's the authority. Amen. It's the reality.
It's his,
the reality of who
Larry
he is.
Yes, his name, his integrity is on the line. Don't you understand it? It isn't about you and me. We're these children that have disobeyed him. It ain't about us. Okay. Cool. So here's what I want you to see here. I got something for us to pull up here, make it a little bit lively here today. Give me a thumbs up if you're with me here today. Huh? You're with me? I know you are. Boy, that hit me deep. I've got to tell you, that hit me deep. Hey, guys, this whole thing, it just came down with the judges ruling against Trump out there and wherever it was. We knew that was going to, on the immigration thing, we knew that was going to come down, right? Can I tell you why? Because the Lord hates unjust weights and measures. He hates it. And America has been weighed in a balance and found wanting. And so what we see going on is unfair weights and measures. It's everywhere you look. The courts are unfair. The government's unfair. Nobody gets equal treatment in it. You know this. I don't have to tell you this. You're smart enough to understand it, right? There are a set of people that get... Some people get treated one way, other people get treated another way. You go into the court, everything, right? It's unjust weights and measure. Listen, the Lord himself said that he is not a respecter of persons. If he's not a respecter of persons, why are we? Why are we? And so what we see happening with Donald Trump and the Muslims and the ban on immigration, it's unjust weights and measures. What do you mean, Coach? Hey, wake up. How can a federal judge overrule the president of the United States? Huh? Come on here. What is well, so one federal judge overruled him. Then what happened? Well, they went out and found three others, and they agreed with him. So now four judges are overruling the president of the United States. And that would be okay if that's the way the system was designed, but that's not the way the system is designed. So we have unjust weights and measures. We have judges who will not judge righteously. Can't you see it? Can't you see what's going on in our midst? And so then we cast this thug of a man, Trump, in the middle of this thing, and it's so upsetting the apple cart that we can't understand what's going on. Rich, come on over here a second. I was having a conversation with Rich today, and I said, man, what's going on? Trump does one thing, the other side comes back, and Trump throws a punch, and then the left throws a punch, and it seems like the left's in control of everything. And Rich was sharing with me last night, I'm gonna turn this a little bit, so maybe he and I can get in here together a little bit. He was sharing with me, he says, Coach, this is just hostage negotiation. This is what's going on. Rich, take a minute and explain that. Listen, guys, listen now. See this with spiritual eyes, okay? Understand that the cataclysmic battle that's breaking loose in the heavenlies, all that's going on, it's not about us. It's not about America. It's about his name and his name's sake. Rich is saying last night, but Coach, this is just pushing him over the edge. Go ahead, explain that, Rich.
Yeah, there's two rules of thumb. If you got a guy standing, just picture this. If you got a guy standing up on a building, there's one of two outcomes. You either talk him off the ledge.
He's going to jump off. He's going to jump off.
You're worried he's going to jump off. You're going to go up there and you're going to try and do everything you can to talk him off the ledge. That is 99% of the time. The other 1% is if he ain't coming off the ledge, then you are talking him into jumping off the ledge. And you push, just like Dave, when we went to Washington, D.C., and he started calling them guys sissies. You know, you push them out on the ledge and that anger rises up in them. And then what do? You back off. And what you've done is you've just controlled this guy. This guy now thinks he's victorious. He's got what he wanted. He got you to back off. Trump keeps pushing people out onto the ledge. He just keeps pushing with these mandates, these orders. He keeps pushing them, and it's like pouring fuel on them. But here's the key. When you get someone to the pinnacle, I did this for years in my line of work. When you get that person out on the edge to the pinnacle where he's about to lose self-control, you back up. He senses that whatever he's done has conquered you. He's got you to back up now, and he feels victory. I see Trump's going to push him over the edge. He's not going to get him to that pinnacle. We see this thing. I mean, they've gone from protesting.
He ain't into compromise with him.
He's not in a compromise, and we have to view it that way. He's not only talking him out on the ledge. He's going to talk him over the edge. So what a guy does, even in hostage negotiations or the guy standing out on the ledge about the jump, the sole purpose is to find out what in him is his trigger, and you decock that thing. If you want to, the last thing you want to do is pull that trigger, because it's too late then. It's over. And that's what I see him doing. He is loading the ammo. He is loading the ammo.
Pushing their hot button.
And there is one issue so far that we as Christians do not like the stand that he's taken. And that is the LGBTQ, whatever. That is the trigger. Abortion, transgenderism, homosexuality, it's all sexually related. It is their trigger. They are fear. That fear is rising up that they're not going to be able to remain homosexual. They're going to be outcasts again. And he's pushing them out on that ledge. And the moment he takes a stand against the LGBT, he pulls that trigger. And all hell breaks loose. It is what it is.
So very good, Rich. So the idea that Trump is stupid and he doesn't know what he's doing. Remember now, come on, stay with me now. Come on. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And what we see happening is that same battle in the heavenlies is playing out in the natural. Now, we have got to understand that Trump is God's man, either for good or for bad. We don't know yet. We don't know. But we know the miracle that God put him in place to cause this collision, this clash of the cultures that like we have never seen. Guys, somebody just sent me, how about this one? Doc Johnston sent me this morning, I think. You know that down in Disney World, they have a Hall of Presidents. Maybe some of you have been to Disney World and you walk through the Hall of Presidents and you go in there and you push a button and President Lincoln says something to you, and you press another button and President Roosevelt. So called the Hall of Presidents. And as soon as the president gets elected, he now gets his place in the Hall of Presidents and a little statement that is played. Do you know that Disney refuses to put Donald Trump in the Hall of Presidents? Can you? Now, you tell me something crazy spiritually isn't going on. Disney Corporation will not put Donald Trump in the Hall of Presidents, even though he's president. So there's something going on beyond what we understand is going on. And I promise you, it isn't what we think it is. Remember, it's about his holy name, his holy name.
They are pushing us to the ledge.
They're pushing us to the ledge. The other side's pushing us to the ledge too. They understand what's going on. They are trying to, well, anybody got anything you want to add there? Because I want to show you something. I mean, you can say it as I'm looking. Anybody?
Coach, I want to say this. Okay. People don't understand how the spirit works. We don't understand the supernatural. That's a dimension of our life. How come I came to your program and all of a sudden out of the blue, what and the circumstances that I was involved in? See, that's a spirit led. We just do not understand how the spirit works and how the dynamic of what's going on. See, the left thinks they know what they're doing, but they don't. It's still a spiritual battle that they don't understand. Why are they fighting against an anointing that God has put on our time through Trump? Why? Because they don't know what the Spirit is about, and they don't understand the Spirit. It's like the wind.
That's right.
Where does the wind come from? Jesus said that. Where does it come from? And yet
they don't know, man.
And it moves. And see, that's the dynamic. I even told that to Larry. He was trying to get a hold of Trump. He wanted to talk to him personally, tell him things that he knew was going to be happening with Hillary and stuff. And I told him, I said, this is something that is spiritual. You're speaking the word because the Spirit is alive in you and you're saying the things that are true. And a few days later, even though he never talked to Trump, Trump was bringing up topics that Larry was teaching us about. And see, that's mm-hmm. the dynamic mm-hmm. of the Spirit, that we do not understand. What, and for you, Coach, see, you're putting the Spirit out there by what you say, what you believe, what is led in you to say. And then it's like a dandelion. You know, when the dandelion grows and it gets to that point where the wind blows it and you got seeds all over the place. And you're going to have dandelions right. growing up in parts that you don't want, but it's going to be there. And that's what yeah. I'm talking about. You are spreading seeds in the atmosphere. We don't know how many people are picking up on it, but they are picking up on it because the Spirit does not die.
Because it's a move of the Spirit. And folks, let's never forget this. Thanks, Michael. The natural, Bible's very clear, the natural man, the unregenerated, the non-born again man, this Bible tells us, the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. Not he won't, he cannot receive it. In fact, the natural man, Bible says, thinks it's foolishness. Thinks spiritual things are foolish. And so what we see operating, happening right before our very eyes, is the two minds coming in conflict. The natural mind and the mind of Christ are coming in conflict in front of us. And if you would go with us and you would stand out there at that lesbian march, you would understand that you are dealing with a force, a spirit that does not know the Spirit of God. It doesn't know. And see, I have the advantage because I used to think like them. I used to be just a natural man with natural thoughts who took in every crazy doctrine that anybody threw my way because I didn't have the Spirit as a filter. So now we have this great advantage. We know how they think. They don't know how we think. They cannot understand how we think. That's the battle that's raging. The carnal mind against the spirit. That's what's happening. And see, the Lord can use whoever he wants to use. He can use Trump. He can use Hillary. He can use... It ain't about us. Got that? So here's what's going on from my perspective. There's a real war happening. And hear me. It's going to go physical. Why is it going to go physical? Because that's the only way the natural man knows how to fight, see. The natural man can't fight spiritually. And say, well, yes, they can. I mean, if they're into witchcraft and demonology, yeah, they can cast spells. They can do that kind of stuff. But the average person that's lost, their only weapons are physical. That's all they have. Now listen, don't miss this. We have physical weapons too. But we have spirit direction with those physical weapons and how we are to use them. And we are not to operate the same way that they do. We're supposed to see what they do, study what they do, and apply some of the techniques they do, driven and filtered by the Holy Spirit. So hear me. They will do, as Rich said, when they get to that ledge, they will do the only thing they know to do, and that is to react physically. That is the only way they can do it. Do you see this? Do you see it? And so there are then higher principalities and power. Folks, listen. Not everybody being used by the devil knows they're being used by the devil. When we went to that march, those people at the march, they thought they were doing right. They thought they're the right ones and that we're the wicked ones. That's the battle that's playing out in front of us. I don't know which side of this battle Trump's on, but baby, he knows how to fight this fight. I can tell you that. He's fought in this physical realm. He's fought at the Holt, building these buildings, dealing with union guys and thugs and big money people and IRS agents. He's dealt with all of this natural world. He's dealt with all of it. And he knows, his experience is, he wins and he has won. How many times do you hear him say that America doesn't win again? America doesn't win again. He's always talking about immediate results. He's talking about a score on the scoreboard. Christians don't even think that way. Donald Trump's in there. He thinks that way. He is going against a physical, natural opponent, and he's thinking the way they think. Is it good? I don't know if it's good. But he understands the battle, and he's pushing them to the ledge. Now, here's what's good. Come on now. Those courts need to push to the ledge. Those courts, they need backed up, man. The courts are absolutely, totally, and completely out of control. The courts are defining everything in this nation. Why are they defining everything in this nation? Because they cannot, the left cannot get their will done through the ballot box. It won't happen. They need the courts to do it. And so, one of the beasts standing, Trump may not even know this. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He may not even understand what's going on. But he knows this. I can promise you right now that when Trump gathered with his leaders last night in the White House, he said, I'm going to get them bastards. Because why? He fights in a natural world. Come on. Quit being so spiritual. We can become so heavenly conscious that we're no earthly good. And so this conflict that's happening in the American government, unjust weights and measures, what the heck is going on? What would make Disneyland not put a president in the Hall of Presidents?
Hey, Coach.
Because, see... Yeah, Larry.
Why did David, when he was facing the Philistine army, why did he take a sling and stones with him instead of standing there, oh, God, knock this dude down.
Oh, so Lord, order my steps here, Lord. That's right. Yeah. David went at him physically, didn't he? We're in a natural, physical world, and it's being played out naturally and physically. And unfortunately, guys, I hate to tell you this. It's been one of the reasons for this show, the genesis of this show, is physical action out of spiritual people. We have both! And we only want to use the spiritual aspect. Now, I'm not talking about grabbing guns and going out and shooting people. Right wing watch. Do you understand that the ungodly, all they have is the physical? And we don't want to get down on their level, but we have the physical powered by the spiritual. And we don't even get it. And so what do we want to say? Well, we're just going to pray about it. We're just pray. Well, prayer and action, right? Prayer propels action. I've said this before. New listeners tuning in every day. What if Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, what if all he did was pray? He'd still be sitting there today, wouldn't he? He'd still be sitting there praying. Oh, I pray we get victory. Oh, Heavenly Father, give me victory over the devil. Lord, I just pray that you're going to let me bring that devil down. And oh, Lord, that you're going to help me. First John says that for this purpose was I manifested. I destroyed the works of the devil. And Lord, I can't do it on my own. And I just know, Lord, that you're going to do it. And Lord, he'd still be praying if he didn't get up and go. He prayed and he walked that Roman road. He walked walked to Golgotha, and he did something. God so loved the world, he didn't pray. He so loved the world, he did something. And see, we have these great spiritual gifts available to us, and we won't even use them to propel us in the natural. Is anybody getting up at me? Because I'm telling you, I'm getting this deeply. I am getting this deeply. We have become spiritual only in our battle against darkness. Only the spirit. When the spirit empowers the physical. That if we would stand up, there's no reason right now that abortion is still legal. None. None. But see, we want Trump to do what the church won't do. Where are you turning me, Rich?
Seven.
Hang on a second.
What you're saying. There's one of these three the church wants nothing to do with.
Let me get all connected up here. I got stuff flying off everywhere.
One of them three right there, the church.
This is John.
First John.
First John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost.
Number eight.
And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth. The Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. We don't want anything to do with the blood, do we? We don't want anything to do with that. Oh my goodness, Rich, that's good. I don't know why this thing popped off here. I shouldn't get so fired up here, boys and girls. I guess that's what it is. This little thing popped off. Let me open it up here. Somebody dive in and help me. I got something else I'm going to bring up. You with me? Chris says, faith without works is dead. Pray, put on your armor, and then having done all, isn't that something? Having done all, pray some more? Having done all? No. Having done all, do what? Stand. That's a physical response. Having done all, stand. David, as he ran at Goliath, said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. David is praying as he's running to Goliath. You see it? You see it? And don't lose sight of the fact that it's not about us, it's about him. Anybody want to jump in before I switch over here and figure out why this thing's busting on me? Speak now or forever hold your peace. I guess you're forever holding your peace. Okay, Jared. Let's do it. Let's, Jared, pull up a Wizard of Oz. Pull it up there. And I want you to watch. We laugh about this. Hey, Jared, let's go to the one that says characters. Characters. Some of you have never known this. The men behind the curtain. And, thank you, Lord. Money, folks, money drives the world. Money drives the world, even for the saved, okay? Money controls everything. Follow the money. The love of money is the root of all evil. What's going on right now with all this bait and switch and everything we see happening, ultimately what's going to happen is our economy is going to collapse. And one of the ways that the natural world is going to defeat Donald Trump or this, whatever it is you want to, they are going to collapse the economy and blame it on Trump and all of his deplorables. Can't you see that we're being set up for that? Can't you understand that? That when it all comes down, they don't want it to come down under Hillary. They don't want it to come down under Obama. That they know that when they collapse the economy, people are going to become, for the most part, powerless. Okay? Well, we've been here before. We've been here before. And I got a little clip here. Follow the yellow brick road, right? We've all been here with... with the Wizard of Oz and yada, yada, all that stuff. Well, do you really know what the Wizard of Oz is all about? This is really kind of cool. Jared, I'm trying to find where you have it up here on my screen. I believe that you do. I just don't see it. Okay, here it is. Folks, this is 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Rich and Robert, you got to see this. I mean, I don't know if you can hear it or not. This is the characters. This is the story behind the Wizard of Oz. Listen, we have been here before. Maybe not to this magnitude. See, back in 1900, they didn't have the internet. Didn't have telephones. Didn't have cell phones and instant communication, right? We didn't know what was going on behind the scenes. The game's never changed. The devil's plans never changed. So in that favorite old song, movie, Wizard of Oz, watch this. This just tells you what the real story was about and what the characters were. It's about 2 minutes. Go ahead, Jared.
You think you know the story of the Wizard of Oz, but you probably only know part of it. The book that the movie was based on was written by L. Frank Baum and originally published in 1900. Some economists and historians insist that the book is an economic fairy tale, a story about America in the age of the gold standard. In their telling, each character represents a person or group active in the late 1800s. The Scarecrow represents the farmers in the West. Most of these farmers had mortgages and owed money to the bankers in the East. When deflation hit, the value of the farmers' debts rose. The amount they owed the bankers was now worth much more than at the time of the loan. Bad for the farmers, but great for the bankers. The Yellow Brick Road is the gold standard. Many believed the end of the gold standard would fix everything. But the citizens of the East, who are represented by the Munchkins, wanted to keep the gold standard in place. They urged Dorothy to follow the Yellow Brick Road. The farmers weren't the only group suffering in seeking an end to the gold standard. Industrial workers are represented by the Tin Man. His joints are rusted and he can no longer work, much like the 18% of Americans that were unemployed in 1894. The Cowardly Lion is William Jennings Bryan, a populist leader and the face of the Free Silver Movement. He believed that adding silver to the gold standard would ease deflation and solve the nation's economic woes. And of course, there is a nod to gold in the title, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, or OZ, the abbreviation for an ounce of gold. The Emerald City is America's capital, Washington, D.C., where everything is seen through dollar-colored glasses, literally, which is why everything appears to be green. In the end, it is Dorothy's shoes that save her, her silver shoes. The shoes were silver in the book, but were changed to ruby for the movie. It turns out the solution was right under her nose the entire time, adding silver to the money supply.
So Follow the Yellow Brick Road was a battle over the gold standard and the basis of our money. Now, we're in a mess today because we're not in control of our money. I got so much to show you here. Jared, pull this other one up there. While you're on that Wizard of Oz page, this is we've seen this all hundreds of times, but watch this one. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. See, stop a minute, Jared, before you play it. The man behind the curtain. We can talk about money if you want to. What would make Disney, what would make Disney not put President Trump in the House of Presidents? What would make Disney, which is ESPN, which is the NFL, have a witch do the halftime performance? What would make all the media moguls fight so hard against Donald Trump other than the fact that there is a man behind the curtain, whether it's one man or an ideology or whatever? What you see out front is not necessarily Barack Obama was making all those decisions. And so we see in America, open your eyes, Donald Trump, he ain't part of this cabal. Donald Trump, it's on populism. Donald Trump would be with the Tin Man and the Scarecrow and the Cowardly Lion. Donald Trump would be marching with them against, can't you see this analogy? So here we go. This is only about a minute and a half where the man behind the curtain is exposed. Go ahead, Jared.
And I believe my eyes. Why have you come back? what you told us. We brought you the broomstick of the Wicked Witch of the West. We melted her.
Oh, you liquidated her, eh? Very
liquidated. Yes. Monetary term.
So we like you to keep your promise to us, if you please, sir.
Not so fast. Not so fast. I'll have to give the matter a little thought. Go away and come back tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Oh, but I want to go home now.
You've had plenty of time already.
Yeah. Do not arouse the wrath of the great and powerful Oz. I said come back tomorrow.
If you are really great and powerful, you'd keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You humbug!
Yeah. Yes, it's exactly so. I'm a humbug. Oh.
You can freeze that, Jared. So you get the picture that's being played out here? The people against the powerful Oz. Now, the Oz, of course, being money, but Oz being the government. The government against the people. That's the picture that is painted here. And so what we see happening is as old as humanity itself. The powerful wanting to control the people. That's where we are. So what's breaking out before us right now, we call it populism. The Lord, Trump's pushing him to the ledge, Rich. And he's pushing him to the ledge. And what is it they are, pardon the term, banking on? Well, they're banking on the fact that we Christians are just going to roll over and let them have their way like we always have. Can't you see that? And Rich was commenting to me earlier at breakfast today, said, listen, the more they talk about gun control, the more guns are bought. That this is all by design as well. And we know that, what is novus ordem, I can't remember the term, out of chaos, order. And so their ultimate design for where we are today, now listen, think naturally now. Think like a natural man. What they want more than anything is chaos so they can bring order. Is Trump the real deal? I don't know. He's being used by God. We know this because remember, it's not about us. It's not about America. It's not about any of that. It's for his name's sake. In fact, it tells us in Matthew chapter 5. Can we go there real quick, Jared? I'm sorry. Because by the way, that's a great Bible study that you guys can do. Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry, Jared. Chapter 6. That's a great Bible study you can do. My brain runs 1,000 miles an hour, or I would do it right now myself. If you Google, this would be interesting. Jared, while I'm saying this, you Google this for me. Google. Jared, Google for me how many times the Bible says, for his name's sake. For his sake. And then I don't know if we don't even have chapter 5 to get up in Matthew. I got it. Because remember this, it says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against me falsely on account of me for my name's sake. Do you understand that the whole battle is against the name of the Lord? That's that when you carry that name, when you pick up that cross and you carry his name, you're going to be hated, persecuted. That's where the battle lies. I'm distracted. Here's Jared's trying to find all these areas. I'll check it up later. It's for his name's sake. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. At that name, for my name's sake, in my name, it's all throughout the scriptures. It's not about us. All right, you've been a quiet crew out there. I got a lot more stuff, but I'm running out of time. Somebody jump in here. Nobody? Gee, many. Got a quiet crew today. Michael, you're not asleep on me there, are you? Well, let me summarize then. Because, I had a bunch more stuff to throw up there. God is working his plan. He's working his plan. And I have to say that the scriptures warn us that knowledge will increase. And as we read the scriptures, it's critical for us to also look at the signs of the times, what's going on around us, and understand that the Bible was written thousands of years ago with predictions about the future inside of it, but that we have to take what's written in the Bible and compare it to what we see going on around us today. Does that make sense? And that's the thing that I think is being missed most in our churches and most by Christians, is we are applying the Bible principles from 6,000 years ago, but we're not applying them appropriately in the time in which we live. We now know more than we knew before. The truth hasn't changed. The devil's, we're not ignorant of his devices. His devices haven't changed. The conflict hasn't changed. But what we have done, what we've allowed to have happened, we in the church, is we've allowed ourselves to fight merely with spiritual weapons. We've not applied those spiritual weapons to the battle in the natural realm. Michael, are you trying to get in?
Yeah, well, I wanted to say one of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 51, where he talks about my ways are not your ways, and they're far Amen. Above us and everything else. And that's the dimension we don't understand, the Spirit. The Spirit is alive and well and is doing something. We have to get in tune with it and in touch with it. That's what I see you trying to do all the time, Coach, by your time. And everybody else that does this spends time alone with God in the Word. You don't have to be a great studier. You don't have to be a theologian. You have to be an open-hearted vessel to listen to what God is saying in our age. And he is saying something. This is a dynamic time that change is taking place. Get on board his train, and we'll go in the right direction by listening to him and applying what we can in the little ways that we have. Everybody's got a talent that God has given us. Just invest in what the Spirit is saying us for us to do. And that is stand up and talk, and don't be afraid of what another person thinks.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on in earth as it is in heaven. Not once has he mentioned us. It's all been about the Father. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and lead us not into temptations, but deliver us from evil. The focus of that prayer is God and his covering and his will. And in American Christianity, we have made the gospel about us and how God can manifest himself to make our lives better. Humanism is the turning upside down of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where God is here only to serve man. When the gospel of Jesus, the kingdom of God, is we are here to serve God. We got it just backwards. The only way his kingdom is going to come, the only way his will be done, is if we in earth try to do all we can to make that happen, to get up every day and serve the Lord and not ask him to serve us. Man, what a time to be alive. Let's not miss it. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you on Monday.